7-Eleven decided that they were going to change how they did business. They had heard about some of these great hotels like the Ritz-Carlton, where they implemented all this great service, you know, and they empowered people at the lowest level. And when people come into the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, you know, everybody kind of says, what can I do for you and all that? And of course, they won all these awards for all this quality and stuff like that. And 7-Eleven says, well, we want to do the same thing. So 7-Eleven changed their business model and empowered all the employees, and they gave them training. And then when people came into the door, they would greet them and say, how can I help you, and all this sort of thing. And it failed miserably. It was a horrible thing. As a matter of fact, sales went down, they plummeted, and they couldn't figure out, well, what in the world is going on here? And they started looking at their model of what they were doing, and they began to realize that when you go to 7-Eleven, you don't care about service, do you? You want to go in there, get your big gulp and your gum, and go to the counter, and you don't want chit-chat and small talk. You don't want them to help you find the gum or the big gulp. You just want to get in there and get out, and that's it. That's what people are looking for. So they didn't really follow what they were created to do. Sears did the same thing. Sears decided that they wanted the gentler side of Sears. Do you remember that campaign? The gentler side of Sears. And they started selling all these women's things and all that. You know, the gentler side of Sears. And it failed miserably. Because guys go to Sears to do what? Buy tools. That's exactly right. Do they care if there's women's things there? They should. Yes, we should. But when I go to Sears, I want the biggest monster tool I can possibly find. I don't want even to bring my wife with me, to have me looking over my shoulder, tell me which tools are feminine, okay? So that campaign failed also. So one last campaign was the McDonald's. Do you remember this? McDonald's decided they were going to create all these high-end hamburgers. The Arch Burger, remember the Arch Menu? Do you remember that? It was, you know, we're going to transform fast food. Not only are you going to be able to come in here, but you're going to get the highest quality hamburger that you possibly can, Arch Food. You have all these selection to come from. And I'll tell you one thing. Selection is a horrible thing because we just got back from a trip to Houston. And, you know, you go into some of these restaurants like McDonald's. We went to McDonald's, and, you know, they've got this huge selection of things on the menu, and it's too much. And the person standing in front of me is like, well, I can't figure it out. You know, it's like, you know, we got to go. I don't know what ticket I want to get. I said, finally, Jennifer, move, I'll order. True story. You don't go to McDonald's to get the finest high-quality hamburger that you can get. You go to McDonald's, why? Because they've got Playland, and they've got quick food that everybody knows you're going to get. And then when you get older, the kids want to go there because they went there as children, and they want to still get the Happy Meals, even though they're 19 years old, okay? This is why you go to McDonald's. Now, in each of these instances, what happened was that the company decided to move forward, and they had all these great plans, but they moved forward in a way that violated their code. They moved forward in a way that said, this isn't really who we are and why we were created. And if you look in some of the management strategic planning books, they call that the DNA of a company, your genetic code, who you are. You all know about DNA. You can take a strand of hair and you can break it down into just DNA and you can create that person again. It's something that is inside of you that you cannot violate it. And if you are a company that violates your DNA by proposing some action and it is not part of your DNA, it will fail miserably. If you propose an action that is completely in line with your DNA, it'll take off like wildfire. Y'all got that? Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world is Pastor Hook doing up there talking about DNA and genetic code and all this sort of thing? Well, it's because for now and the next 5 Sundays, we're going to look at our DNA. Last year, we went through a strategic planning process. We started in May. We got input from all of you, and then we had big groups and then smaller groups, and then a whole bunch of us got together, and we worked on what is really the true core of who we are as Christ Lutheran Vale. Because as we start now planning for buildings and as we start planning for programs and looking to the future to figure out what we want to do, we want to make sure that we don't violate that DNA, the core values that we value. And oftentimes companies never even talk about them. But they're things that every company values and every church and every congregation, every organization values something that's very important to them. Now, it's not core beliefs. Core beliefs are things like doctrine, those sort of things. Those usually are written down, and we publish them, and we let everybody know what we believe. But your core values are kind of those unpublished things that everybody knows that is what that congregation is all about. So for today and the next five Sundays, we're going to go through what we believe we are as a congregation, what we believe is our DNA, our genetic makeup, our core values. And the first core value that we came up with was this. Are you ready for it? Friendship, friendliness, our core value is friendliness that results in authentic fellowship. Friendliness that results in authentic fellowship. Now, one of the things that I know about this congregation is that we truly are a friendly congregation. When you come in the door, you are mobbed by people that are friendly to you. And I know this because people tell me about this. They'll say to me, Pastor Hook, this is like the friendliest congregation I have ever been to. And it's like, well, yes, we are a friendly congregation. That's a core value of our congregation, friendliness. But folks, if you're just friendly for friendliness' sake, it doesn't mean anything. You can be friendly all you want to. You can be friendly to the guy at the gas station, but he's still lost and in hope and need of a Savior. And we could be the friendliest organization out there. We could be like the YMCA or the Elks Club or whatever and just be the friendliest organization. But if we don't turn that friendliness into something, we've missed what God has called us to do. And what we believe at this congregation, what God has called us to do, is friendliness that results in authentic fellowship. And you can look in Scripture and find out what authentic fellowship is. And I think I want to start this morning in the book of Acts. We went through Acts this summer. So some of you may remember this, but Acts 2, 42 through 47 really talks about what authentic fellowship is. And it's worth repeating. Acts 2, 42 through 47. If you've got your Bibles, you can open up to there. I don't think it'll be on the screen. Acts 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And that word fellowship is that koinonia fellowship that we were talking about in the children's sermon. It's a special type of fellowship. It's that Scooby-Doo Shaggy type of fellowship where you're really in there together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything into common. Selling their possession and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. That is koinonia fellowship. That is coming together not as individuals, but as people who love and support each other. And this is the first time it's mentioned, but this koinonia fellowship is mentioned 20 other times in Scripture. And this koinonia fellowship is always accompanied by little things that we do for each other. I just want to describe to you what those are. For example, in Romans 12:10, it says when they were in fellowship, that koinonia fellowship, they were devoted to one another. In Romans 12:10, it also says that they honored one another. In Romans 12:16 and in 1 Peter 3:8, they lived in harmony with each other. Romans 15:7, they accepted one another. Galatians 5:13, they served one another in love. Ephesians 4:32, they were kind and compassionate to one another. Colossians 3:16, they admonished one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, they encouraged one another. Hebrews 10:24, they spurred one another on towards love and good deeds. 1 Peter 4:9, they were hospitable to each other. And of course, the number one thing, 1 Peter 1:22, they loved one another. That is a list of what authentic fellowship looks like. All these different things are what we do to each other. But when I was preparing for today's sermon, I really wanted to spend some time in Galatians. Because sometimes we don't act like we're in koinonia fellowship with each other. And I think Galatians 5 really tells us why. Galatians 5 from our reading today. It's not Galatians 5. It's Galatians 6. Okay, so I've been gone all week driving to Houston and back. I have it here marked. It's Galatians 6, and it's up there, Galatians 6, 1 through 5. I knew it was here somewhere. Brothers, if anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. So now Paul is talking to those people who are in koinonia fellowship with each other, and he says, listen, if you've got somebody that is in that congregation that is troubled by sin, and who would that be, by the way? All of us, that's right. If any of you are perfect, you know, you don't really need to come on Sunday morning. But for those of you who aren't perfect that want to know how God can live in your life, come on Sunday morning, you'll find out what God's will is for your life. But for those of you who are caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. We do it with love and compassion. We don't beat him over the head. We do it with love and compassion. And then here's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. That is probably the number one thing that I think we could do for each other when we're in authentic fellowship, when we're in that koinonia fellowship. Carry each other's burdens. Know that there are people out there that are hurting, and we're here to help you when you're hurting. And when we're hurting, knowing that there's somebody there that's going to be like Shaggy or Scooby to us to help us through when we're hurting. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. But then Paul doesn't end there. He says this. He says, if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And how many times do we have that in congregations where there are people that think, well, I never sin. I'm kind of perfect. I'm something. And what Paul says is that when you think you're something, you're deceiving yourself. John says the same thing. He says, he who says that he's without sin is deceiving himself. That's why Jesus came, is to rescue you from that sin. And all of us have it. If you think you're something, when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. Each one of us should test his own actions, and then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Each one of us someday are going to have to stand before Christ, and we as a congregation are there to love you and support you and to walk with you and be in that koinonia fellowship with you, but someday, it is you and you alone who will stand before Christ. And this congregation is here to help you in that day. And the help we give to you is to let you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you are freed from them. So on the last day you stand before Christ, all those things have been wiped away. And you can stand you by yourself before Christ. I think about this congregation and about how we love each other. It's not just that we're a friendly congregation, but we fill each other. We work with each other. We love one another. We uphold one another. All these things that Paul talks about, fellowship, authentic fellowship, koinonia, that's who we are to one another. There's a story told about this Scottish pastor, And he was always trying to get this guy to come to church, and he never did. He's like, I don't have time for church. He's, but you're part of us. We want to encourage you. We want to fill you up. You can't do it on your own. He's like, I'm just not into the church thing. So he never came to church. But the pastor, this Scottish pastor, would not be stopped. And so he went and visited this guy all the time. And the guy would never say anything, never share any burdens or whatever. And so sometimes they would just sit there in silence. And one time the Scottish pastor was there and he was trying to figure out, how in the world can I show this guy the importance of fellowship, Christian fellowship, koinonia fellowship? And they were sitting there by the fireplace, just doing nothing, listening to the crackling of the fire. And the pastor reaches over with some tongs and he pulls an ember out of the fire and he puts it on the hearth. And he comes and he backs and he sits down. And they both watch this ember as it slowly dies, as the fire goes away. You are that ember. And this congregation is the heat and the warmth that fills you every Sunday and outside of Sundays, that gives you love and support and compassion. Because all of us are tied together through God's Holy Spirit. And each one of us has fellowship with God. And because of that, we have fellowship with one another. And we can love each other and we can support each other throughout all these days. These next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about our core values. Today was the core value of friendliness that results in authentic fellowship. Can you say that? Friendliness that results in authentic fellowship. We're going to go through some more. But that's who we are. That's who we believe God has called us. And as we make all of our plans in the future, we're not going to be like 7-Eleven, and we're not going to be like McDonald's and make that mistake. We are going to be true to our core values. So that's why we're teaching them to you. Make Jesus Christ, who loved you and has authentic fellowship with you, be in peace and in fellowship with you now and always. In his name, amen.